Blog Talk Radio.
It's real. You take for granted, you miss the most. Woke up every morning, the grits and toast. School clothes spread at the foot of the bed. Anything I needed was there, you get it prepared, yeah. Held it down when my pops and moms ain't. Repay you in a way that stocks and bonds can't. Just think, it's that same little boy that used to break rules, spill Kool-Aid on the floor. You was my father and my mother, the mother of my father. Known as my grandmother, I refer to you as mama. No one comma or considerate as you, my dad. Love my parents just as much, let's get one thing clear. You raised me by choice and you didn't have to. Showed me where to go when I had to use the bathroom. Nasty, that's true, classy, that's you. I give you my last breath if I had to.
When I stop, look back, think about my life. You gave me your love, whether wrong or right.
I owe you.
Come on.
I owe you.
That I owe. When I was down and out, no more friends were gone. You stayed by my side, never left me alone.
Fat mama kept with the fashion, everlasting love, couldn't ask enough. Went to school, two jobs just to have for us. Plus, no child support, you did it on your own. Independent woman, you the queen of my throne. Condos, the one bedroom we call home. Long as you was there, I was never alone. Though we had our ups and downs, it's all up now. Used to wear small frowns, hit them all up now. How? Did you imagine, mom, that your son would grow to be this handsome, huh? No, I'm playing, I'm saying, you the reason I exist. And for this mess, you deserve pure bliss. Any wish, I grant it. Any diss, I slam it. You more all understand it. Your son, Nick Cannon.
When I stop, look back, think about my life. You gave me your love, whether wrong or right.
I owe you.
Come on.
I owe you.
That I owe. When I was down and out, no more friends were gone. By my side, never let me alone.
Father, I praise your soul. Learned to love you for myself when I was 8 years old. Before then, I didn't know about your grace and mercy. I just knew my pops was preaching while I played in the nursery. Then he taught me that you so loved us all, that you sent your only son to die on a cross. I once was lost, but you keep finding me. I always fall, but you keep reminding me. 1 John 1:9, that I'm righteous, see? And here to be just fine, you took a liking to me. Gotta let them all know you can still have fun. Lord, in the range roll, you ride shotgun. Save me in that crash, block bullets when they blast that. Not at the party, though they got the homie. No, you got them surely. And as for me, if it wasn't for y'all, don't know where I'd be.
Mom, stop, look back, think about my life. You gave me your love, whether wrong or right. Friends was gone.
I love
you, stayed
you so
by
much.
My side, never let
oh,
me alone.
I love you so
I
much.
You.
I love you so much.
I owe you.
Beautiful ladies and gentlemen, this is a beautiful morning, beautiful Tuesday morning after this beautiful holiday that we just had. And we're rolling into this beautiful, beautiful show called Wake Up. And we have a queen of a host for you. We have a host that's going to delight you, that's going to bring you information, and that's going to just every morning wake you up. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need. We need to be woke up. We need to be shaken. There was a story that I heard a long time ago where a young lady had a son, and she told her son, she said, "Son, this clock, when you're ready to go to bed, you don't have to wait for me to put you to bed, but I want you to pay attention to the cuckoo clock. Every time you hear the cuckoo clock roll, clock nine times, then you know it's time for you to stop what you're doing and get in the bed." So the little boy would used to do that every morning, every night he would do that. He would hear the cuckoo go cuckoo, cuckoo seven times, cuckoo, cuckoo eight times. And then nine times he knew it was time to jump in the bed. He would jump in the bed. But this one particular night, the boy was waiting for the clock to go cuckoo, and it started, and then it cuckooed seven times, and then eight times, and nine times, and then 10 times, and it kept cuckooing, and it 12 times, and 13, and the boy got so alarmed that he ran into his mother's room, and he began to shake his mother, and he said, "Mama, wake up, Mama, wake up, Mama." And she said, "What's the matter, baby? What's the matter?" And he said, "Mama, wake up, Mama, because it's later than it ever has been before." And I simply say that, ladies and gentlemen, because this show is very needed. And Queen Linda is going to bring it to you in such a beautiful way that you're going to be encouraged and motivated every morning to wake up. 7 o'clock? That's what I'm talking about. You got to join. You got to get up mighty early in the morning to have a show at 7 o'clock in the morning. You got to be mighty motivated and encouraged. You got to be like the snail. The snails get up early in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. The birds and the bees get up early in the morning. They don't stay in there and slumber. I think it was the Bible that says to consider the ants because they're up early. And so this show is a powerful show. Wake up. And I think our host has just come in. We're going to roll a second of music in. And then the next voice you're going to hear is your host of your show, Queen Linda.
Oh, hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
You will have a beautiful day. You will do beautiful things. And it's going to be awesome. Today is Tuesday. May 27, 2014. Tuesday starts with a T. And everything that starts with a T is being placed out there. But this morning, we're going to use T for think. I want all of you to think. Think about who you are. Think about how great you are. Think about the great things that you will do. But be mindful of what you say to others. Be mindful of what you say to yourself. You know, it is very, very important that one reaches out. We have so many things that are going on, so many people that are going through many, many, many problems. Take the incident at University Santa Barbara. That's a tragedy. That was a young man that was not thinking at all. There were students there that were not thinking at all. To you young adults that are out on the campuses, that are intermingling with each other, be mindful. Look at those around you. If there's someone that's shy, someone that's withdrawn, make it a point to think, T-H-I-N-K, of ways that you can approach that individual, go out and help that young man. That was a tragedy. He was sick. He's no longer with us, and he took many, many, many people with him. That is something that must be taken care of. It's up to you. It's up to all of us to think and pay attention to our surroundings and the persons that are around us. So now that I've gotten that out the way, and that's a think process for you today as you're going through your day, we're going to talk about the youth out there that are preparing for the prom and graduation. Those that are graduating, those that are walking across the stage, putting on caps and gowns, getting acknowledged for the wonderful things that they've done, those are thinkers. It's automatic that it takes time to study, it takes time to pay attention, and especially to your professors, and do the things that you have to do. So I must commend you this morning on being able to think. I heard Mr. Cannon speaking earlier about just getting up and to listen to the alarm clock. Set your clocks. Make your plans. There was a saying to me when I was a younger lady, or I'll go all the way back to my childhood, that if you're always late for everything that you do, I'll repeat this again. If you're always late for everything that you do, you are already a loser. So those of you that stroll in at your leisure, you want to be fashionably late and all of that other stuff, get out of that habit. Try to arrive at least 15 minutes prior to the time that you need to be there. When you're going to work, make it 30 minutes. It sounds crazy, but if you try it, it will work. You're taking the temperature of the environment that you're going to be in for the rest of that day. It is very, very difficult to drive through traffic, run in the door, hit a clock or sign in or whatever the methodology might be, and be relaxed to do a good job. If you're in customer service, you must sound relaxed. You must be ready for anything that you're going to get from your clients. And in order to do that, you have to settle yourself in. Rush, 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 rush all the time is not the key. So being on time and being present to who you are, your greatness, the great things that you've done, and the great things that you are going to do. And this is going out to everyone out there, but especially the youth that are preparing for the next stages of their lives, you know, being excited. I want you to really think, T-H-I-N-K is the alarm clock for today, on what we're talking about here. And on that note, I'm going to give you a few minutes to just let you go and think about it. Remember to think. I'll be back on. Well, we're back. I see those brains moving around. Everyone is thinking about arriving to their destination a bit earlier today, thinking about having dialogue with each and every person that you meet, and thinking about that statement, when you're always late, you're always already a loser. So I know we have no losers out there, and addressing this back to the youth, which are our leaders of the world, not our future leaders, but our leaders of the world. You know, when you have a great responsibility, and that you have to lead the world, you have to have an understanding of yourself, who you are, and step into it. And we use the word stepping into your greatness. It sounds a little bit different. You might not hear it a lot, but I'm going to get this thought pattern on your mind. Everything you do, you're stepping into your greatness. Just as those of you who are putting on those caps and gowns in the next 2 months, you're stepping into your greatness. You're demonstrating heads held high, chest out, because you have accomplished one of the things that you have started to do. It's just the beginning. It's not over. There's many, many, many stages out there to cross. And you want to make sure that you keep yourself focused and balanced no matter what to complete that. Some of us can complete by the age of 25. Some of us don't complete until the age of 55. But the key that I want to put on your mind as we're speaking about walking across stages and caps and gowns and graduation is to never give up on your dreams, never give up on your goals, and especially never give up on you. If you find yourself in a situation where the environment is pulling you down, it could be a family member, it could be a friend, it could be an employer, it could be a professor. Do not go there and let them know that, you know, I am not going to allow myself to be defeated, and remember that word, defeated by you or anything else. And no matter what you're doing to try to stop me, and there's those out there who will throw the roadblocks, take them, step over them. It only strengthens you. It's like going to the gym. You need a little bit of negativity to come towards you so you'll recognize positivity once you slot in it and stay. And you let those people know that this is not a defeat for me. This is only a delay. And when you put it out like that, watch the reaction that you're going to get. You have to be confident within yourself, within your goals. You have to be determined to do what you have to do in order to put that out so that you can get the proper reaction. If you're weak, if you're frightened, if you're afraid to speak up, it won't work. So I'm putting this challenge out to all of you fearless persons, and you fearless youth especially, to open up your mouth, put your hands on your hips, stand flat-footed, and let them know this is not a defeat, it is only a delay. Your whole life will rise and begin to turn around into another direction, not because of what they're trying to do, but for what you have done for yourself. I have Mr. Cannon on the line, and he has young men that are off to school, in school, out of school. Mr. Cannon, can you kind of like speak with us about some of the things that you've experienced and how you've encouraged the boys to continue to go, and that's why they're going into the universities that they're going into now or graduating from the ones that they're coming out of? Can you give us some insight on that, please?
Ms. Linda, I appreciate it so very much. Really, I do, for a whole lot of reasons. And I appreciate you because your voice is such a clear, needed voice that needs to be on every morning. And I just think that, you know, the nation needs to be able to tap into your heart and follow and wake up with you. Wake up is very needed, and I think I congratulate you on every effort in this direction. And when we talk about education, when we talk about youth right now, you know, it's a shame that, you know, we're already only using what they say 10% of our brain power, and it seems like, excuse me, you know as well as I know that it seems like it's almost a conspiracy to direct young men and young Afro-American ladies all across this country in the opposite direction of education, you know, to so make them fed up with it and a lot of games being played, that I think we have to slow down with our young people and even walk with them through the schools and even maybe take some classes with them to encourage them to their learning and listening skills turned all the way up. I think one of the most important things in working with young kids and youth, I have five sons myself, and continuing to keep their minds open, you have to teach them to be good listeners. When a kid has learned to be a good listener and learned to take in information and then to be able to properly articulate that, then that helps right from the beginning. And, you know, it takes a little bit more discipline to cut off some of the tools and the toys that we have and make sure that our children can read with clarity, that they can understand, you know, as we're riding down the road, instead of letting them play the video games, you know, let them know that they got to read out loud for an hour so that we can hear as the parents. To prepare them, because when we send our kids off to these schools, we have to make sure that, you know, that they can receive information and instruction and properly, you know, and clearly disseminate that information through their own mind. Because once I'm clear of that, then I know that anybody can teach my son, because I've made sure that he's teachable. Everybody can learn, but, you know, a lot of kids are not teachable. Not that they cannot learn, but they haven't been brought to a point where they understand the value of education and that their first calling in life is the calling to be a student. They came out learning. They came into a universe and a world that was massive, and they had to start out crawling and then learn to walk, then learn to run all by themselves. And we've all been through that process, so we've proven that it works. And nobody teaches the baby really how to talk or to walk. The baby has to learn that as the scholar that he is and that we are, we have to learn that on our own, proving that the first calling in life is the calling to be a scholar, to learn. And so I have a son, my baby son, Javen, is graduating from high school, done outstanding, and stayed focused and stayed with the theater and arts, and he really has a heart to go to historical black college. So I'm excited about that. My nephew, who's also graduating in San Diego, he's going into a law program, so I'm excited. There's an opportunity to put together a program that I'm working with called Canonizing with the law programs at Historical Black College and then one here in Fullerton in California. Well, if we can get some young men and young women into those law programs, it's a 6-year BS program where you come out with your bachelor's of science, a bachelor's of art, and then that fourth year of your college, you start taking law. And so upon obtaining your BS degree or your BA degree, you go 2 more years and then get your Jewish doctorate and prepare for the bar. You know, so it's a 6-year program, a 3x3. So I'm really excited about that. Excited about it, a whole lot of other things. Miss Linda, I appreciate you. I appreciate the show. I appreciate the beautiful music that you're rolling in. Anything I can do for you, I'm here with you from the beginning, and I'm going to be here to the end.
Well, I appreciate it, and I thank you so much for having this available, for placing opportunities out there, and I want to, when I make the statement opportunity, that's a very important word. Anytime an opportunity comes to you as young adults out there, and old ones too, take it, because we have to learn how to push past our fears. We have to learn how to trust not only in ourselves and others, but the most important thing is when you're present with your being, when you're present with yourself, then you can recognize, open up, you will be able to see the support and the assistance that's coming to you. As you said, Mr. Cannon, this canonizing with the law program, I think that's a great thing. There are programs out there. There are many programs out there. And walking on the university campuses myself, I can see what is available. They're there, but they're not readily available for, shall I say, people of color. But it's a known fact. So speaking of the law programs that you're going to bring into the schools and that you're going to set up, this information has to start with high school students. I am noticing that the universities are reaching back more and they're going into the high schools, offering the high school students summer programs. And these programs are to acclimate them. They're being acclimated to get that college campus life. There are some youth, when you graduate out of high school, you will go directly into a 4-year university if that's your choice. And there are those who will go into a community college. Years ago, or up until now and still now, persons look at a community college as like a put-down, or if you're not going into the 4-year university, you know, what's happening. But I can speak and vouch and state that it is the community college, young adults, that are going to get you ready. The community colleges are going to learn how to you will learn how to structure your time and your organization and be on time. These things are going to be needed when you step on that university campus because they will not hold your hand and they're not playing out there. If you are a person of color, they look at you like you're not even supposed to be there. I am saying out of my mouth this morning, it's yours. It belongs to you, and you walk wherever you choose to. But when you go back in and not be teachable, as Mr. Cannon was talking about, and no one can get through you, it's not a fault of yours. It's really not a fault of your parents. It's a fault of the circumstances and the culture and the structure and the politics that have been placed as roadblocks in front of you. A baby learns when it's in its mother's stomach as an embryo. A baby is learning. How in the world could that child survive to be able to be born? So he's learning survival while he's being carried in his mother's stomach. Once he arrives, he learns through recognition. No, we cannot teach them how to talk, but when we move our mouths and when they hear, they're very, very smart. They're picking up. The baby watches you walk. Eventually, he gets up and walks. I often go back when I see a child, and especially, say, someone under 2, and I think back on where did we come from? Who are we? You know, our bodies are, we walk bipedal. We are up on 2 feet. But billions of years ago, we were quad. We were on 4. And I often look at that child, and that child sort of like answers the questions for me, because the baby most of the time starts crawling before he stands up and starts walking. He's given me the answers. And you should ask yourself and investigate, who are we? Where did we come from? And I'm putting that out there because once you know who you are and where you come from, no one can turn you around. You know it, and believe me, when you're standing in front of the faces of those who are trying to keep you marginal, keep you inferior, they know it also. But the most important thing that you have to do is you must know it. When you know who you are, you know where you come from, then you can keep on traveling on the road. As far as Mr. Cannon speaking about his son, the children that are graduating, and how the young man stayed focused, and he was in the arts. Arts are no longer in our schools. That sucks, okay? And they must come back. That is why we have gangs. That is why we have the type of situation that you have nothing to do. When I was growing up in high school, I participated in band. I was a twirler. I was a cheerleader. Those things kept me active. And as I grew into my adulthood, I now realize what those activities did for me. Because in order to work with any type of team, band, any group, you must be responsible and you are held responsible. And if you're not in that slot, there's a gap. So it teaches you responsibility. It teaches you teamship. It teaches you the things that are going to take you through life. That's not happening anymore. So it leads me to believe that, you know, you don't want to teach these young adults how to be responsible, how to work as teams. You want them cloned out to listen to what anybody tells them, not understanding how to come back because they don't have the courage and they haven't had things to challenge themselves to get the courage. So now you just have another defeated generation. I'm from the old school. We don't have it, okay? If you come up against Miss Linda, Queen Linda, and sometimes I get called a few other names, you're going to have to go some because I was taught who I am. I do not believe in defeat, and I definitely never, ever, ever give up. The programs that are out there at these universities, and they're there. You cannot wait for anyone to tell you about them. You have to get nosy. When you hit a campus, whether it's at a community college or it's at a university, you make time to go to each and every department that's on that campus. You let them know who you are and let them know what your goals are. I have found through experience that when you terrorize, I call it the word terrorizing the departments, and once they find out what your goals are, they will support you 100%. Now, if you go in with an attitude on campuses, there's all types of funds and opportunities for you, and if you think that you need money to go to school, you don't. There's financial aid there. There's organizations that will buy your books. All you have to do is get there and let it be known that you want to be there and you're going to be excellent while you're there, and you will get all of the support that you need. But as far as the universities and the money and the arts that are no longer in the schools, it's up to you, youth, and I'm talking to you, the ones that are out there that are on the campuses that are walking the streets, is to make it happen. When you play music, that's giving you your math. When you are painting, any form of art, anything that is going to bring out your inner feelings, your creativity. Once your creativity is stifled, you're gone. Anything that you can do, your thing might be tying rubber bands together. Be the best rubber band tire that you can be, and don't worry about what anyone says about what you're doing. It's satisfying you, your soul, and it's bringing out your creativity. If you like it, then they should love it. If they don't love it, then you don't worry about them. You find someone that does. I want you to really, really pay attention. Stand up. Demand that art and music. Demand. If no music is in the school, start your own. Get in the middle of the campus every during day at a certain time and just play music. They'll have to just come take your instruments. You must let them know that you are in control, and these are the things that you want. See, everything belongs to us, the people. But the way everything is structured out and the things that they feed, the ones that they can feed, that gives them control. I call it assumable superiority. Remember that word, assumable superiority. And when you find yourself in a bind or someone coming to you very incorrectly, you let them know that that assumable superiority just don't get it with you. I'm out of Texas. I don't know if you're picking it up. And Texans are very, very different people. I like being a Texan, even though I'm here in California. Because in Texas, we were told that we had choices. We had to stand up for ourselves. And we took no nonsense. And as an adult, past 20, I'm not going to give you that number, I am still no nonsense, but I'm here to share everything that I have ever, ever been taught. That's why I'm speaking with you this morning to you, because my mission, my goal is to empower you. I know it works. It's taking care of me. Take whatever you can use out of whatever I'm saying for today. Think about it and put it into action. And on that note, we're going to have some music because I want you to what? Think, think, think.
Remember when you heard that voice?
I will. Mommy, feel me for a sec. I would use my vocal cord. Can I ball? Yeah, can I ball? Mommy, can I ball?
This is to every female that's ever been in my life.
Yeah. Yo, Tim. Can I ball? Yeah, can I ball? Mom, can I ball?
This is to every female that's ever been in my life.
Yeah. Yo, Tim.
Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone.
I feel this like what?
Dust to dust. My rib, my whiz, my dip, my boo, my chick, my sugar, my shorty, all you. My dove, my dog, my love, my rock, my love for you. My love, don't stop. My life, my dream, my wife, my queen, my essence, my coach, my player, my team, my buddy, my baby, my lovey, my lady, my shelter, my helper, my pain, I felt it. My diamond, my gold, my Zion, my soul, my spirit, my flesh, my chest, you hold. My shield, my skills, my will, be still. My youngin', my pumpkin, my sweetness, my something, my dumpling, my daisy, my freak, you crazy. My woman, my girl, my missus, my world, my breathing, she needs. Believe me, be easy. My kid, my big, we live. My red,
my flesh and bone, that's
for you
me.
I live.
And my love, we're sharing strong.
Yeah.
My rib, and my
bread.
Deny, I'm not.
You my
flesh and bone, that's
for you
me.
I live.
And my love, we're sharing strong.
Yo,
your dress, your stress, you saving, your sex, you blessed, your views, your joy, your blues, your eyes, your mood, your heart, your food, your opinion, dominion over your whole living, your home, your giving, your virtue, he hurt you, your wound, you nurture, your curfew, your class, your curves, your glory, your past, your story, your stash, your mercy, your grace, your voice, your face, your pace, your taste, your morals, your goals, your steps, your toes, your scent, your strength, your friends, your foes, your prayers, your cares, your tears, your chairs, from yours to my ears, your crown, your frown, your palms, your moms, your kid, you get, we live, we did, me and you, my rib,
my rib.
But you
are there, and the love we're sharing strong.
Yeah.
You are my
reason,
and
my
I can't deny. Closer than my flesh and bones,
but
and
you
bone, and the love we're sharing strong.
I hate you, I date you, I love you, I make you, I miss you, I thank you.
For you,
I'm grateful. I need you, I am you, I stand you, I have you, I had you, I left you, but I had to, I failed you. I scared you, I dared you, compared you, I held you, I kept you, I dished you, I helped you, I felt you, when I kiss you, I melt you, I see you, I saw you, I hear you.
Well, I hope you were listening to the words that that young man was saying. Everything that was done for him and everything that he did for another, that makes you think again. Put it out there. Learn how to pay it forward. It's not all about me, me, me. Get that out of your head. It's not about you, you, you. It's about us, us, us. And whatever you see in an individual that you don't like, that you disagree with, reflect back. Because guess what? You have it too. If you didn't have it within your life, you wouldn't recognize it in theirs. So just keep that in thought as you're getting angry or upset or throwing slugs or whatever we do out there when we cannot understand another, judgmental, all of those things. I want you to get rid of it. Get rid of it because they're all blockages. So I just thought I'd put that out there as a little wake-up for you. But I want to go back to this law program that's going to under canonizing with the law program for the university. Mr. Cannon, is there going to be any early mentoring for that, any outreach programs? What are the criteria for selecting students for this particular program?
That's beautiful, Ms. Linda. I appreciate the opportunity that you're giving me to kind of talk about that because it's a passion that I'm kind of, we're kind of developing. It comes out of the need of our communities to have good representation. A lot of the historical black colleges, I noticed, they from the outset, they didn't have law programs. They didn't have strong law programs. They had programs to prepare you for ministry and prepare you for business and prepare you to go become a principal or a teacher. But, you know, to get you through the bar exam and to where you could become a practicing attorney litigating for some of our young men and young women that have, we have a lack of representation in our communities. And it's difficult to go forward when you don't we can't be advised properly. And so, therefore, I say let's ask every pastor and every organization to earmark young men in their communities that may have the ability to handle law or legal education. You know, most of our kids have the gift of gab. They're very sharp. They just be talking about all the wrong things. I wonder if we teach them the Constitution and how valuable that is for them once they learn it, and that it's difficult to hold a polished young man down no matter what age or color, I mean, no matter what color or nationality he has, it's difficult to hold them back when they're polished. So I say with these 3x3 programs, and it's really within my heart come September to have everything locked in, have a group of young men in the college and being canonized, where canonized means we're going to watch them and pay attention and help support them, because if it's a six-year program, from the day they step in as a freshman, that's success. To get them in as freshmen into this program, that's success. Now, it's a six-year journey, but once we get it and we get it flowing and we continue to get young men going every year, and then coming back to our communities to help the communities with the mindset that as the community helps them go get what they need, then they come back to the community with that knowledge. You know, we understand a lot of times the athletes go and become athletes and they don't come back to the community and give that money. And we understand that because, you know, money is a whole other subject. But when you talk about you have the knowledge that we need, you have the wisdom that some of these young men need when they're approaching this prison system that they have to approach and deal with, we want them to be able to have good attorneys that can litigate for them. And so, therefore, I'm excited about this law program called Canonize, and we're trying to work out all the nuances right now to make sure we go forward. I'm hoping to be able to pull a reality program, a reality show out of this as well, since my son has and my family has some ties in the production industry of to make that happen, to where we can watch and monitor these youth on the college as they go through, matriculate through, have a good time. We want them to have a good time. We want them to see all and touch all and get involved. But we also want them to do what we send them to school to do, which is, you know, be the scholars that they are and, you know, be leaders. So that what I'm in preparing them, we have a program where we can begin to prepare other young men, 9th, 10th, and 11th grade, work with them in a community program like Toastmasters, but we call it the Young Articulators, where we get them running a Toastmasters-type communication meeting on Saturdays. We get them to run the camera equipment so they make productions out of that. They interview the 100 most important people in their city so they learn how to articulate. They learn to do productions and documentaries for those corporations. So the learning curve, by the time they're ready to come out of high school and go into a law program, we want them to go in and get it done. So the learning curve is very well when we start working with them in the 9th, 10th, and 11th grade.
And you know, I'm listening to you, and I, as you're speaking of the returning back to the community, paying it forward, you speak of the prisons, you state that there's no law programs. No, there are not any programs that are structured. They're coming in now, but coming out of Texas, when I graduated from high school, I could only be a teacher or a nurse. So I went toward nurse, and I discovered that I did not have the temperament to be a nurse, because when the patients was talking crazy to me and I was trying to save their lives and be there to give them baths and they were calling me all kind of names, I discovered that with my attitude and the way that I dealt with them, that nursing was not for me. Were the only two things that were offered there. So coming into Los Angeles, I had the opportunity to have the administrator's brother of USC. I was in USC. I go to law school, and I was in. But when I saw the book versus the Hollywood Lights, I knew that I would not be able to do it at that time. So that went away. So the program that you're setting up, meaning starting in the 9th, 10th, and 11th grade, it would have to go under a mentorship I like the idea of the internship. You mentioned Toastmaster Toast. There's a Toastmistress. And years ago, I joined both of those. And I am glad that you mentioned it because it is an organization that a lot of young adults don't know about. And you actually are invited in, but it's the best thing that you can get in because that's one of the reasons why I'm here this morning, and it is because of that Toastmasters and Toastmistress training, because you speak and you speak of topics that you are just a spontaneity on any type of topic. So it brings out your speaking ability, it helps you to think, and it keeps you sharp on your toes. What I found that those programs helped me in was to not have fear of getting in front of a large audience, and that some of our, most of our youth problems, they can sing, they can dance, but can they speak? There's boot camps that set up, and if I direct the boot camps, I only have one mandatory criteria, and that is no matter what's being taught in that camp, no matter what the curriculum is, no one graduates until they step to the podium and make a speech, because when you learn to speak, you're selling yourself, which you are the best product that's out there, and you have to be able to talk about the product that you're selling. I don't like the word selling, that you're introducing the world, and that is you. So I'm listening, mentors, internship, the return back to the community. I think it's a great idea. I think it is the best idea because, you know, we don't have representation and we are not taught anything and prepared for anything. Math, when you get on the college campuses, most of the Afro-American students, and myself included, have a hard time with math because we weren't geared that way. We weren't taught, was not important. I know how to count money, and that's what I tell people. Why do I need to know this calculus and all this other stuff? I'm never going to put it together. I know how to count money. But things that's like a block for you. And most universities know that people of color are not skilled in math and sciences. So that's an area that also we must push and come together and get the interest. The prisons, they'll build a prison before they'll build an apartment complex to put a roof over someone's head because prisons are money. Okay, so if we can keep our young men out of prison or get them out, the ones that are in there wrong, then somebody's going to lose some money. Am I right? So that money, and if you, like you say, you cannot stop a young man that knows what he's about, that has been groomed, you cannot stop him. So you can't stop the ones that haven't been groomed, and the way that they push through at this time and get it done is through the weaponry and the gangs and the killings. And I don't really hold it. I hold it against them because life is a precious thing. But I don't judge them for the way that they have to get through life. All I want to do, and persons like yourself and everyone out there, as you say, get to them and let them know that there is a better way. Yes, they can rap, they can talk, all of that, and that's good. That's a sign of the time. But take it and put it into action. Take it. I work with exchange students that come over from different countries, and there's one criteria that when they come over and have the opportunity to stay 4 years rent-free or whatever they need to do, that they have to pay it back. They have to grab another one and do the same thing. That's a must. And if they don't follow that procedure, they're not in the program. So you're setting up this canonizing law, and you're saying you want them to go back into the community to pay it forward, to service the community, and leave a little bit of that money in the community. So those are going to be criteria of what I'm hearing that will be things that they would have to agree on in order to be in that program. Am I correct?
Most definitely, most definitely. They would have. We would want them in so entrenched in that they once they leave the community, we want them to be so prepared that they go to the top of their class and they lead their class. So when they come back from that experience after 4 years, they've been canonized to where they know what the community needs. Again, you know, think about all the business majors and all the psychology majors. Then our community should be healed by the very fact that we're educated in these areas. But a lot of times the community where the college is a lot of times the worst community in the city. And so therefore, how effective is that education if it's not affecting the community where the college is? If the kids come out in business and they don't learn how to set up a multi-billion-dollar corporation, then, you know, what was the purpose? I mean, not all by yourself. I'm talking about the student body. If you've got a whole student business department where you're teaching these young kids business for 4 years and you've got them every single day sitting in your classroom and you're teaching them business, then together that group of kids should be able to come out and launch a business that affects the country.
We
teach them to be divisive and go their separate ways. I'm going to teach you this, but then y'all go y'all separate ways. What if before you go your separate ways, as soon as you come out, y'all made yourself millionaires before you even, you know, went into the work world? You studied business for 4 years, and you studied unity, and you learned how to study together. Okay, well, can you learn how to run a multi-billion-dollar corporation together and set it up in the next year and a half, so when you graduate magna cum laude, you also, you know, I mean, that's where the bar is right now. That's how high the bar is set right now. So I tell my son the law education is a requirement. He said, well, Dad, I want to study business. I said, but son, you can learn business anywhere, but to get a legal law degree and understand the Constitution of the United States of America for which you live, to understand that bad boy, it's a requirement. I'm not allowing it to be an elective for you. If you're going to go to college and get in an institution, you got to figure out how you get your law degree and figure out how to major in whatever else you want to major in.
Well, it's out there, Mr. Cannon, and it's bringing tears to my ears. It's like, as you speak, I'm hearing my grandmother's voice going over and over and over, because, you know, when a child is given the opportunity to make choices, and that's very important, but along with making those choices, they need a little direction. Like you say, you're going to get out there, but you need to have this law behind you. You need to be able to protect yourself. You need to know what you're going up against. And if I may say, because I'm on the campuses every day, you have to, again, get nosy. It's not going to be told to you. You have to be nosy and get into those arenas and get into those projects and join on cohorts to go on through life together. And in order to do that, that takes leadership quality, because a leader, and that's what all our youth are today, they're all leaders to me. When I look at them, I see leaders, have to be able to get it, have dialogue. They have to, or shall I say, they get to. I don't even like the word have to, because we don't have to do anything. We get to do those opportunities. We get to put ourselves out there and again, step into our greatness in whatever arena that we need. Business. The colleges are set up in the communities that are not benefiting from it, because basically I feel that universities are research, and this research is being done, and the persons or the community are the participants. But what is the university and what are the students doing to make this happen, to insist that this flows into the community that the university is in? It belongs to the community. It belongs to the youth that's going to have to put it out there. So we may talk about a lot of things, and everything that you and I are speaking of this morning is basically geared toward the youth. And I hope that they're hearing it. I hope that they'll think about it and look at the opportunities that are out there and understand that you must become fearless in your actions to get things done. You cannot be satisfied with just being told anything. And keep in mind, you don't have to agree with everything. Once you find out who you are, where you come from, those two things are very important to take you through life, then you can step into any arena and hold your stand. But in order to stay in those arenas and to blend in those arenas, you have to some education. You have to be able to speak. You have to be able to work a problem. You have to be able to look at a situation and go ahead and not be the problem, or come up with a very, very quick solution. And those are things that are available to you in education. If you're not teachable, you're not going to learn. So the attitudes that the young adults have, some of them, I don't hold it against them, they just need to be tweaked a little bit. Just a little bit, because I'm going to say this, and then we're going to go to some music. You know, you get more bees with honey than vinegar. So if there's something out there that you need and you're seeking, remember that with your approach and your attitude, and see how things turn around for you. Let's play a little music and let them think about that.
Darkness. We didn't go astray. You were ready.
What we are. We are soldiers of life. We're soldiers of our life. And we all have the responsibility to get out there and lead the way. The adults in the community, the elders in the community, the youth in the community, we have to come together. We must form a unit of power, a unit of greatness, and a unit of leadership. The neighborhood counselors that are throughout the neighborhoods and the city of Los Angeles, those persons are put in place. They are community-wise, neighborhood-wise. Dialogue has to exist with that. Our communities are suffering. What can be done to bring our youth together to give the youth the responsibility to let them know that we're not here to dictate, but we're only here to pick them up when they fall down and keep pointing them in the direction for their goals and their desires and dreams. You see, people say, oh, you're dreaming crazy. A dream keeps you living. And behind a dream, you have to set a goal and a commitment. Education is the key. When we talk about the college campuses, your youth that are graduating, moving on to the next level, this is just the beginning. It is you're just starting now. Connect with your counselors. Speak with your counselors. Be a part of the campus club. Just don't go to class, study, participate with your professors, the ones that do, and just go in. And do not just have the attitude of having a grade. You want a top grade. Shoot to earn an A. And I say earn because grades are not given to you. Keep that in mind. No one is going to give you anything. You must earn it. It is time to start earning it now. Those of you that are coming out of high school, going into the next level, because that's going to reflect you later on in life. As I stated, I could only be a teacher. I could only be a nurse, which nursing was not happening. I am in California. I've pulled up from the bootstraps, and one day I'll share my crazy story with you after, you know, we get better acquainted, to let you know that when persons tell you that you there's no hope and you're stuck and it's nothing that you can do about it, take it from me. You can make them out of a lie. I have made many, many people out of lives, and I love it. And as I'm continuing on through my life to take care of my dreams and my missions and to empower you, because that is the only reason why I'm here. It does me no good to acquire things, to know things, and don't give it to you. You see, I was required that whatever I got, I had to give it back. So I'm going to put that on you. Whatever you get, you have to give it back. This way it flows, it continues, it opens up, and it makes for a happier world. It makes you a happier person, and it just builds beautiful communities. Our communities in Los Angeles, across the board, are very, very diverse. It's a lot of opportunity within the community to learn the different structures, to learn the different culture, to learn the different language, so that we can all come together and make this world what it is designed to be. And that is for happiness, joyfulness, caring individuals that take care of one another. If we don't do that, we're not going to have a world. You can see what's happening every day. There's suffering, there's pain. And when you suffer and when you carry pain, you do crazy, crazy, crazy things. And the most that you don't do is think. So that's why our topic today is think. Think about everything that you desire, you want to do. Talk to others, have dialogue. And when you talk to individuals, look them dead in the eye. It's very hard to do. If you haven't been taught to do it, try it. You're looking past the surface and you're digging into the soul. On your end, it makes clarity, and on their end, it lets that individual know that you're concerned, that you care, but most of all, that you're committed. Those are the three C's that you want to think about today: care, concern, and commitment. Carry those through your thought pattern as you go through your day. Also carry the thought pattern of how many counselors can you speak to a week on your campus, and how many times will you visit. When you meet your professors, do not just be a name on a roster. Introduce yourself. Let them know what your goals are. Let them know what you're trying to succeed in. And I can guarantee you that they will get behind you and support you all the way. Mr. Cannon talked about Magnum Lottie. I will be walking in a cap and gown. I'm very excited. And I am in the Lottie family. And the reason why I am in that family is because of no fearlessness, introducing, letting it be known. And I am way past 20. I want to see many, many, many of our youth, or all of our youth, walking in gold cards and gold ribbons and falling in those categories, because that's a high achiever and you're walking with honors. Not only have you honored yourself, you've honored your parents, and you're making honor representation for your community. I want you to think about that as you step on those campuses and register for your great classes. One other thing to think about: do not take a subject that you don't need. Period. Do not take a subject just to take a subject. You're wasting your time just to get units, just to acquire. Later on in your academic career, you will find out that if you did that, you have acquired things that you cannot do anything with. So be very mindful of what you want to do, what you're going to study in. If you don't have a major, hang loose for a minute. I've changed mine on several occasions. Gone from psychology, because I wanted to work with the young minds, to sociology. And I will be Dr. Max Shedd in the near future with a sociology degree, because the sociology is more of me, because that means I'm about the community, the people, and the world. But it took me a while to figure out just how to slot that in. So I'm putting this on your mind now. I want you to think about it so it won't take you so long. So once you get started, you're in it, you're going to win it, and you're going to benefit from it, and so is every individual in this world. You are the leaders. You're the leaders. Not our future, not our future leaders. You are leaders. And I'm inviting you to keep that on your mind today, to understand that, and to hear these words, to grasp and get everything regarding education up under your belt, and just don't settle for lower. Just don't settle. If you're going to step out and get educated, take it all the way. Take it all the way. You see, I like to speak for the young adults. Right now, I speak in Sacramento. I don't have a lot of acclimates behind my name. And PhD, and I don't have that yet. So I still get an opportunity to speak, because if I have something to say, they're going to listen to me, and I'm going to make sure that I'm heard. So right now, I get 10 minutes. Once I get the acclimates, they'll give me 20 minutes. But remember this, it don't take but 15 to get the job done. So that's my little motto. I want you to think about it. Carry it with you today. And just put it out there. Release the fear. Become fearless in everything you do and perform with nothing but excellence in mind. If you cannot be excellent, do not do it. Don't be satisfied for just half. Half is not good enough. You want to be excellent. And you're not doing it for anyone but yourself. You're not trying to impress anyone. You're not trying to satisfy anyone. Do it for yourself, and it can be a lot of fun. Try it. I want you to think about that today. Mr. Cannon, I want to ask you, as far as your program of this with the law, with the canonizing, is there going to be funding, or is there going to be scholarships provided for those who demonstrate academically? Is there a criteria there for scholarships for a student that might want to come in and stay in?
Well, you know, I'm very aggressive, and, you know, I believe in community. I believe that, but we also have to be wise in how we deal with finances and money. We have to be aggressive. And, you know, one thing, if you study the life of Booker T. Washington, one of the things that he was able to do after the turn of the century, right after slavery, was, you know, he helped to raise the money to set up 5,000 schools across the South and Virginia. You know, those one-room schools that our great-grandmothers and grandfathers were educated in right after slavery, you know, there was a whole movement to make sure that newly freed slaves would have an opportunity to be educated. They didn't want us to come be educated with them. We couldn't go in their classroom and sit with them, but money was raised and schools were built and young kids were able to go get educated. And so I kind of liken that to this. I appreciate the question, but we want to beat every bush that we can to find the finances that we can to get as many of our young men and young ladies into these institutions, and with the focus directed on getting their law education. So whether at this point, as we're building this program, like I said, everything being equal, I'm hoping to be able to launch the first class, you know, getting in September. And so therefore, with that opportunity, and that was really my question I was going to ask to you, you know, where would you recommend looking for additional financing for college for young people? Where are some ways that they can be proactive? What are some websites or some companies that they could contact? If we could do that on a daily basis, on a show like yours, where we could have people share with us, where's the money at? You know, what can some of our young people do to raise their money throughout the summer to help pay for their own education, their own law, or for their books, or for their entertainment while they're in law school, to be able to be proactive now, where, you know, they could do things on the internet, that they could do things over the internet, that they could market products and sell items and books that could bring in revenue. They could create apps. So I'm just right now a part of one of the tables that we're constructing is the financial table to say let's everybody get involved with the movement of these young people getting this education. So we want to go after our FAFSAs, we want to go after the scholarship, the grants, everything that's available. We want to say to a young person, if they have a will, then there is a way to find the financing that you need to get into this program, a structured program where from the day one you step in, we're going to try to accelerate you through this with some of the best professors and some of the best, you know, educational tools that you need so that you truly become one of our shining stars today.
There are organizations out there. There's people who put feelers out. They're not here. There is a club, and it was, and they've been operating for a long time. And it is called the Nacogdoches Club. And if you have Nacogdoches. There's a city in Texas, Nacogdoches. And I when I heard it, I said, oh my goodness. I said, my grandparents, my aunts, they grew up in Nacogdoches. And how I found
Nacogdoches,
out about
Nacogdoches, I've never heard of Nacogdoches,
yes,
Texas.
Right. Most people have not,
you got to share some of that good old Texas stuff from me. They say they do everything big down in Texas.
Yeah, Nacogdoches. Once you hear the word, you'll never forget it. Well, there's a Nacogdoches Club, and I did not know it until I became an adult. And I had a gentleman that was performing, and he said, I'm going to this luncheon, to this club luncheon. And he said, it's the Nacogdoches Club. I said, Nacogdoches? I said, I would like to go. So I went. Mm-hmm. And it was so rewarding because as I sat there and talked to some of the elders that were there, they knew who I was because they told me about my great aunts because that's where they
wow.
grew up. But the Nacogdoches Club takes a child at a young age, at 80, and they will pick so many, and they will watch go through life with that child academically. And once
beautiful.
That child graduates out of high school, he's taken care of for 4 years. So I'm just putting that out there to say that things like that can be set up. You know, you might get a form, and you have to, it's performance required. They just monitor them. They go all the way. And once they've met that point and proved academically, they don't have to worry about their education. They're taken care of. And it is this club that does it. I have not been in contact with them in years, but they are around. And like I say, the word, once you hear it, you'll never forget it. But they've been doing this for years. I want to
well,
say...
Well, you know, I've told a lot of young people that when you, and I've had people do it for me, when you're really trying and you really want to make a difference, then people will stick their neck out for you. They will reach out and help you. People, you'll find people, you'll find angels coming into your life that will help you accomplish and get done what you want to get done. You just got to have the vision. Without a vision, you know, the people perish, you know. And so you can give a person an empty building, but if they don't have a vision, they won't do nothing with that building. It'll stay vacant. You know, you can give a person, you know, plenty of money, but if they don't have vision to what to do with that money, then like the old saying goes, the food and the money will soon part, you know. So
yeah.
It's about having vision and for tomorrow. It's kind of like having hope for the next day, you know, because when you got hope, then no matter what situation you find yourself in, you got hope that tomorrow will be a better day. You got to hope that, you know, that you're going to get another chance to do it again, and this time you're going to be able to do it better. you know, there's a story where they were in this critical emergency situation and people were dying left and right, and they had to set up an emergency camp to take care of the sick, of the ill, those people that were some of the people were dying right before them. So the doctor came through. He could only see so many people, so they were tagging the people that the doctor didn't need to see, you know, based on three conditions. One was, you know, critical, and but yet, you know, could receive help. And then those ones that were dead and completely gone, and then there was the ones that were, that had no hope. So they were tagging him on the feet. So one young man, they had tagged on his feet, no hope. So when the girl was getting ready to walk away, the young man that was tagged with no hope, he lifted up his head and he said, "Ma'am, I've got hope."
Okay.
He said, "I got hope. Don't tag my feet with no hope, because I got hope. You know, tag my feet with hope. You know." And so that's some children need and some people need, is to be tagged with hope. The condition might be bad, but you got to remember, if you got hope, then if you can look up, you can get up.
Definitely. Definitely. I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. And sometimes even if you cannot look up, you might have to turn your head and go to the side. But just do that. It's so... so many things that are available that are not being put out there. There's a lot of fundraisers, people that raise funds for things, but what do they do with the funds that they raise? That right. is a stigma that's out there, because if you say that you're raising for this particular project, then that's what that money goes on. But I have found through years that working with fundraisers and setting up systems, that once the money comes in, then it is not distributed for the cause that it was brought in for. And that's something that's on my mind that I would like to, you know, further look into, to see that, you know, there are people, there are sponsors out there that will sponsor for education. There are sponsors, there's persons that are just looking for a place, a good place to sponsor. But the problem is, who manages those funds? And that's what's blocking. You know, you get so much for the community, and the community never sees the money. That has to be worked on. So it has to be
you're absolutely right. The integrity of the people that's managing the program, you know, we have to say, there's plenty really, until greed comes in, that's where we start having problems. But there's, you know, any good person running any good organization should be compensated properly, so that they don't have to do it on a, you know, penny pinching basis, you know. And
that's
so
right.
we, you know. But we don't want to get to a point where greed sets in to where, you know, we're not fulfilling the very purpose of what we set up, you know. And that's what happens a lot of times. But if we can keep the greed out, keep the unity in, you know, my philosophy is none of us is good as all of us. And what we cannot accomplish alone, we can accomplish it together. It takes unity.
Definitely. Unity is the key, and you hit the main important word, integrity. Where the integrity has to be there. Then the purpose is there, but the integrity is what's going to move the operation. And the person that you're working with, they have to fit that criteria. And that's why I say we go into working with our youth now, because youth do not, yeah, they were, not all, I won't say all, but integrity is something that has not been embedded in our heads as a people, okay, number one. But I can see it across the board that responsibility, integrity, unity, those are three things that must be worked on. We need to speak upon to improve that, and especially with our youth, because anything you learn as youth will carry you through life. What you learn as a baby will carry you through life. Sometimes we stray away and we do other things, but I can guarantee you, you go right back to the basics. You go back, because what's taught there and what's embedded there, you will exercise it at one form or the other. And the word hope, when you don't have it, most people don't know what it is. I take it as a purpose or a desire. What is your desire? What do you want to do? See, if a person used to not know what they want to do, a lot of a person, we go and do everything that everyone else wants us to do. But my
question is to think,
what do you want to do? Because once the you decide on what needs to be done, it's done. They form a unity bond that will make your head swim. I am amazed with, and I admire them because of the communication skills, because of the determination. It is the youth that runs the country. There's many organizations here that specialize in training the youth. A lot of these organizations, and the youth of those organizations can run countries, okay? Because everything is given to them, from their personal into there's organizations, there's workshops, there's phenomenal workshops that sound crazy that work in that arena. What I found with the participants in the workshops is that they participate and they pay for the workshop, but they don't put anything into action. Unless you take motion, become aware, and take commitment, nothing will be done. And if they commit to gather 10,000 youth at 10 o'clock on Friday night, they're there. I'm amazed. I love to sit back and watch them into operation or decide, but I have learned you have to find out what the youth wants to do. So my question today is to the youth out there is to think about what do you want to do. That's the first step. It's a lot of stuff out there that can be done and a lot of things out there that you can do for others. But my question to you is, what do you want? Because if we propose this, creating unity and what we need to do, or how can we better the communities, how can we help the youth, how can we educate, we have to set up a forum for the youth, because they're the ones that will let us know what's needed. That's why I walk the campuses every day. I could do online classes, but that's not doing me any good. I need to be in the meat of the action to find out what's lacking and what's needed and how I can support. So I'm putting that out to everyone today under our think topic. It's to think about those things. What can we do to enhance, empower, and to encourage our youth? Our time is over with. You know, if you pass 20, that's it. You know, get it to the youth, because they're going to get the job done. I have that much faith in them. I have that much, I admire them. I admire them in any area that they go into, because whatever they decide to do, they do it well. Okay, whether it's positive or negative, it's done well. So these are the young minds that I live for. This particular show, Wake Up, you, Mr. Cannon, these are things that I have prayed for, because we must put the word out. We must shake up, wake up, and make everyone get up and do something about it. Not just talk about it, not just complain about it, not just be judgmental about it. Do something about it. And if that does not happen, it's a lost cause. And if you want to give satisfaction to a system or to a person that's just waiting on a call, then that's up to you. But that's not in the criteria here. Wake Up with Linda, and this particular form is not for that. And as you see, you know, there's rules and regulations here. You know, we don't want our callers to call in with attitudes, anger, and negativity. We want positive solutions, good thoughts, good words, and no profanity. So I wanted to bring that across because persons listen. Some will call, some won't. They like to listen. But once they decide to talk, those are the rules, and we're going to keep it in that criteria because we are about our youth here, and you have to be what you want to see. Would you agree with me on that?
I definitely will because, you know, I think we as a people, we are brilliant people, and the more we deal with each other in a brilliant way, then the more brilliant we will become. And that's the beauty of this thing. And I think all of us are masterpieces. And there is no race that is more superior than another race because we all are masterpieces made up with God, man, and a female. It takes God of the universe and it takes one man and one woman to be able to produce a masterpiece of a personality, of a spirit that will live forever. Imagine that out of the womb of a woman comes spiritual beings clothed in physical bodies that have emotions and have a soul that will live forever. That's a masterpiece. And ladies and gentlemen, every one of us a masterpiece, whether you're black or white and black or Asian and black or Hispanic and white or whatever makeup, Indian and Japanese or Chinese or whatever the label, the masterpiece has went into operation when God blessed the seed of the woman and let her allow it to come forth in life. And that's what happened to every single one of us as we had the privilege to come into life. And that's what I think is most beautiful of all, and that we must cherish. And that's why I cherish you, my sister, because I feel the life that you give to everything that you do in excellence. And I just pray that everything that you put your hand to will continue to prosper. I pray that everywhere you tread your feet, that it will prosper and blossom, and that the lights of life will come on everywhere around you. I bless you with much success. And wherever you need me again, just call on me. I'm here. I believe in this show, and I feel what you're doing. And I agree with everything that you said.
Whoa, I appreciate all of that. I'm taking all of that in, support and your assistance and the opportunities that have been given. I have no other choice than to continue to move forward and step into my excellence and shine like a diamond. I tell people, and this is like bringing tears because it is so rewarding for me to hear this, to have this come, to get this opportunity. There's a lot out there that needs to be done. And I and many other persons, like persons of yourself, and there's many more of us, we will come together. We will get this job done. Our youth is very important. And when you say move forward, I want to share something with you. I'm going to sort of like change the wording around, but it falls in the category. It says forward, always forward. And this is the spirit of a person that has a true cause. We live with our gaze fixed on the future and not hung up in the past. To advance eternally, this is the essence of life. Essence is what it means to be a practitioner of your faith, of life, and the lives of others. So forward, always forward, to accept, to be supported, to have the statement, the comments that you're making, to have this opportunity for me to get it going, to wake up the world is my mission. I've always been able to say what I needed to say. I've had to learn how to sweeten it up a little bit. But there are those out there who hear and they move. And then I also realize that there are those out there who hear and choose not to hear. But for those that are not hearing or choosing not to hear, then they're losing out. They're losing out on the greatness and the opportunity to get up, take action, and take care of the youth of this world. Our youth are calling, they're hurting, they're seeking, and they're needing. And we, as the adults, the seniors, the elders, the old school people, or whatever we call ourselves, that know the game, we understand the story, now is the time to tell it, share it, and prep them. Prep them, help them, and let them know that, oh, I'm going to be here. Just as you say you will be here for me, I'm going to be here for you. When you fall, I'm not going to run for you, but I will prop you back up and point you in your direction. That is all that I'm asking anyone to do, is to open up your eyes, listen, do not criticize, do not dictate, find out what they want and get it to them, or show them the direction to get there. And that's my vow, that's my mission, that's my request, that's my legacy. I do not want to be sitting in a nursing home playing pity pat. I will continually be out here putting fire up under the logs of this youth. They're great. They're in their greatness. They're the ones. I love them. They need us, so let's get busy. Everybody, everybody wake up. Your alarm clock today had the title of Think. Tomorrow, we're going to be on another topic. We're going to talk about wellness and how to keep you and your body in a condition so you can continue to think and continue to help teach our youth. Because, see, you're no good to anyone if you're no good to yourself. So we're going to talk about wellness, and we're going to talk about disease. And I'm not a doctor, but I can share some things with you, maybe a few old-fashioned remedies that might save you some money out there on how to really take care of your health, shine and glow, keep your mind clear, and be there for everyone. And on that note, we're going to have a little music, and then we'll come back with our part for today.
Thank you.
Well, we've had fun this morning. Wake up with Linda. Your alarm today was think, think, think. The alarm tomorrow will be let's think how to take care of our health, because no one wants to be rich in the hospital. In the morning, we'll have another good day. But today, remember, you're beautiful. Watch what you say, think, and do. Reach out to someone and think. Love you.
30 seconds.
I love you. I love you. I love you. Think with love. Wake up with love. Each day. Have a good day. Remember, you're beautiful. Let everyone else know that you're beautiful. But the motto today is to
I guess it
think.
Was silly of me to go around the town telling everybody that our love was safe and sound, safe and sound. And I guess it was silly of me to fall in love so soon. Right now, baby, you got me feeling the blues.
Baby,